How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 14 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the pod. You can leave a review there. Hopefully it's a five-star one. If not, you know, I guess I got to get better. The first thing I wanted to talk about before I took some Twitter questions today, Howard Beck had a report at Bleacher Report Wednesday. He said opposing general managers believe a Russell Westbrook trade could come, quote, sooner rather than later. You can read Howard's full comments at normantranscript.com. Just head on to Thunder Road. That's my blog there with all my coverage. You can find that under the sports tab on the site, or you can just go to normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. People ran with this report. I saw stuff all over. Westbrook's going to get traded, or the Thunder are going to try to trade Russ, or super dramatic things like a trade is inevitable. It's happening. It's happening. Twitter started freaking out. But that wasn't the report. Howard did a great job of explaining the context. This is not Howard. This is not the way it was consumed. The context got removed. And such is the problem in today's day and age of instant consumption. It's a day when people read a tweet, they don't click on the link, they don't read the article, then they reply to the tweet, questioning something they imagine was in the article, but it wasn't even there. Context is everything, and somehow in 2017, it doesn't really matter. We live in a world devoid of it. So, following Howard's report Wednesday, I tweeted out some information I thought complemented it well. I tweeted out a link to an article I wrote last week, and in it I reported that there are teams in the NBA who are convinced Westbrook is going to the Lakers. I didn't say Westbrook was going to the Lakers. I didn't say Westbrook might go to the Lakers. I said teams out there believe he is going to the Lakers. I didn't use that as anything definitive about Russ, and if I thought it was just gossip, I wouldn't have reported it in the first place. Reporters hear information that they keep in all the time, and that could be because we heard it off the record, or because we think it could betray someone's trust, even if we did hear it on the record, or because we deem it irrelevant for whatever reason. It's all about context. We have a million reasons why we keep things to ourselves instead of reporting it. Reporting isn't just about finding out information. It's also about deeming what's important enough to report and the time that's important enough to report it. There are tons of reasons we don't report things, though. And one of them, which I think is relevant in this case, because this is something that deserved to be reported, but at the same time, it's something that the reaction to this gives us fuel for why we're so conscious about why we don't report other things. Because there are sometimes we think the public may not be able to consume whatever info we have in the way that it's meant to be consumed. And when I or any other reporter do report information in those scenarios, we all have to make sure to be as clear as possible. Sometimes the burden's on us. We don't do a good enough job. We're not clear enough. I don't know if this is one of those cases. Back to this Westbrook thing. I was conscious as I could be to make sure to place the importance of the report around the actual report. Teams thinking Westbrook is headed to LA doesn't actually mean he is going there. I think that should be clear. That should be intuitive. But it does mean those teams who believe he's heading west are not willing to pay as much to trade for him. That's the tangible effect. That's why it's worth reporting. If you believe that a player is a rental, if you think that there's no way you're going to re-sign that guy, you're not going to give up equal value in a trade. That's common sense. And that's the importance of the report. I think in some ways, Howard's report was taken out of context in places too. I don't want to speak for him. He's fantastic at his job. He's as good as a reporter as there is in this entire business. His entire resume at Bleacher Report, New York Times, out in LA, it all shows he's fantastic. So I'm just going to repeat his words. They were pretty clear. Quote, I don't think anybody knows for certain what Russell Westbrook wants to do. And then he had the clarification that it's a belief. And then he had the clarification that it's among non-Thunder GMs. And then he had the clarification that Presti looking to trade him is, quote, a logical belief. Howard's report isn't more than that, and it's not supposed to be more than that. Now, Presti may very well trade Westbrook, but that's not what the report said. The report simply explained the hypothesis from GMs around the league, ones that aren't with the Thunder. If Russ isn't willing to commit, It's really hard to imagine a scenario in which the Thunder could lose KD and then Westbrook in back-to-back off-seasons and get nothing back. It would kill the franchise. The Thunder aren't signing another Durant. They're not signing another Westbrook. They need to get something back to farm. But no, at least from a journalistic perspective, we're not in much of a different place today than we were from a couple days ago. In terms of what was reported, we still kind of know what we did before in terms of where the Thunder stand on Westbrook. We still don't know where that is. We don't know what Russ is thinking. And Howard even clarifies he didn't know what Russ was thinking. No one really knows what Russ or his people are thinking right now, other than the report from David Aldridge from last week, which said that there was, quote, no chance that he would be talking an extension. Granted, the NBA's economic environment is a little bit different now, knowing that the 2017 cap projection has gone down since that report came out. We don't know what's happening. So just make sure you acknowledge the context around the information when you start to reference it. That's important, and it's important in the way that we frame stories. And I'm of the belief that reporting is a two-way street. Consuming it is as important as the people writing it, and we should be consuming as responsibly as we actually report. I'm going to get to the usual Twitter questions before we go. I just want to say also, if I don't get to your question, I'm sorry. I usually like to take two of them. And a bunch of them come in. I wish I could answer everyone's. I wish I could answer the good ones. But I can't be here all night. I'll probably do a mailbag on the site at some point. That'll be on normantranscript.com as well. It'll be sometime soon. I'll get as many questions in there as I possibly can. That'll be a lot more than two. When I was blogging back in the day, I used to do super long, 2,000-3,000 word mailbags. I don't know if it'll be that long, but I'm going to get a bunch of questions in. I'll tie them all together. Anyway, first one from at CalebMartin43. If the Thunder were to trade Russ, do you prefer the Lakers or the Boston package? Boston is so interesting because people talk about how Boston has all these assets, and they certainly have assets. They have draft picks. But their young pieces aren't all that enticing. I mean, look, and this is a scenario in which they have to trade Russ, of course. We're operating under the premise that the Thunder now would have to trade Russ, which is something we don't know. If Westbrook wants to come back, you bring Westbrook back. That's something that you have to reiterate every time you talk about this. You're not getting another Russell Westbrook. So if Westbrook wants to come back, you bring back Russell Westbrook, no questions asked, and you do whatever kind of contract he wants in order to make that happen. But if the Thunder are under a scenario in which they have to trade Russell Westbrook, the thing that's interesting about the Boston package, if you can get the Nets 2017 and 2018 picks, if you can get both of those picks, then that's something. I don't know if it's possible to get both of those picks. Boston notoriously kind of comes in with low offers and then backs away. They haven't really made their big deal for a big star yet. They brought in good players. They have good players. But if I'm trading Russell Westbrook, I want to bring in somebody who is going to help me in the long term. I want those draft picks. Look, they have good players and on good contracts. Jay Crowder is on a really friendly contract. He's owed about $28 million over the next 4 years. In this current NBA environment, with the way he is really, really valuable wing who defends, he can now score off the dribble. He's become super valuable. You can argue that, he was the best player pre-Al Horford. I know Isaiah Thomas gets a lot of the fanfare, but you can make that argument. I mean, you could bring back Isaiah Thomas also on an insanely friendly contract. I got about $13 million left in 2 years on that deal, including the upcoming season. Avery Bradley's got about $17 million left in 2 years. Problem is that aside from Crowder, he's got 4 years left on the deal, which is very nice. Bradley and Thomas, it's only 2 years. And those guys aren't stars. Those guys are good players, certainly. Bradley's an excellent defensive player. He shot well. He had a great season. He had his best year this past year. But I want guys, if I'm trading Westbrook, if I'm Sam Presti, I want guys who match up with the timeline of my team. And I think Sam Presti has historically shown that preference as well. When he goes out, he wants to keep teams on similar timelines. I think that's how you grow a team together. That's how you develop a team together, because you're not just developing individual talent when you look at roster building. You're developing talent, interlinking talent. You're developing talent you want to complement and grow together. Thunder still have a young roster. You've got Adams at 22 and Kanter at 24 and Robertson at 23 or 24. Oladipo at 24. If they bring back Waiters, he's 24 too. All these guys are the same age. They're all the same in the same timeline. and you want to bring back a guy in the same timeline. That could mean draft picks. They have team control of a lot of these players for a while. That could mean draft picks. It also could mean preferring the Lakers package. That depends on how you value D'Angelo Russell. It depends on how you value Brandon Ingram. I don't know if Julius Randle is something that makes a ton of sense in that deal. They already have Sabonis. They have Adams. They have Cantor. Maybe Cantor's not there for the long term. But even so, they like Sabonis a lot. And Adams looks like he's going to be an all-star player. Adams could be an all-defense player. At this point, it would almost be surprising if he wasn't an all-defense player. That's how good he's become. And he's going to give more on the offensive end next year than he ever has, I think. So, you want guys who match up with his timeline, but you want guys who also complement him. I think there are other places you can look. I mean, look, those are the teams that you think have the best chance at retaining Westbrook. So that's where the value comes in. But hey, if Russ maybe extends an extra year and he's willing to do it, you know, in order to go somewhere in a trade, look, I mean, I think Denver can offer the best package. If Denver's willing to do it, I don't know if Denver's willing to do it. If Denver can give up Jokic and Moutier and then fill in salary however else elsewhere, I mean, Moutier is someone who could turn into one of the better point guards in the league. Jokic is certainly one of the three best rookies last year, no question. I don't think a lot of people realize that because people were gushing over Towns and Porzingis, and rightfully so. Those guys are going to be awesome. Towns is already awesome. But Jokic was so good last year on both sides of the floor. He shoots threes. He's an incredible passer. He's an amazing screen setter, too. I mean, Jokic is really good. He improved throughout the year. His defense got really good. I don't know if he'll be a showy rim protector, but something I learned the other day, which I wasn't actually quite aware of, was that his rim protection numbers on Nylon Calculus, which is a great advanced stats site, his rim protection numbers were better than Kristaps Porzingis' this past year. And I didn't realize that. I honestly wouldn't have guessed that with the eye test. That's the beauty of the numbers, right? Because Kristaps, I thought, deterred a lot of shots. And Kristaps had good rim protection numbers for a rookie and has really good potential because of his length, his athleticism, and he has really good defensive instincts. But he fell off throughout the year a little bit. Jokic jumped. And I think Moutier also jumped throughout the year as well. I mean, those guys progressed. I think they're both going to be really good players. Jokic is already really good. If you can get those guys in a deal, I mean, that is the best deal. I don't know if it's possible. I'm sure Denver would worry about their ability to retain Westbrook. This is all under the scenario of Westbrook would come back. There are other guys, you know, other teams out there too who are matchups that are interesting packages in a possible Westbrook trade. I mean, Minnesota is someone who Sam Presti would certainly call if he were trying to trade Westbrook. Because Sam Presti, when he traded James Harden, I mean, the joke around the league was that Sam Presti was calling everybody. I mean, no one has ever accused Sam Presti of not doing his due diligence when he made the James Harden trade. He called everybody. And he'll call Minnesota. And I imagine if he does try to trade Westbrook, he'll bring up Andrew Wiggins. Towns wouldn't be a possibility. There's no way Minnesota's trading Towns. They wouldn't trade Towns for anybody. That cheap a contract for that kind of player, you could argue that guy should have been third-team All-NBA last year. I think that's a legitimate argument. And he was a rookie. And he would have been a sophomore in college. So Towns is not happening. But Wiggins maybe, Zach LaVine, draft pick, Chris Dunn, some kind of mix of that package. A lot of good guys there. A lot of good young guys in Minnesota. That's a possibility. Phoenix. Lots of good young players in Phoenix, too. I mean, there are other ways that they can go. The problem is the Denver, Minnesota, Phoenix trio, those are the types of teams that would probably worry about retaining Westbrook beyond this year. Back to the original question. I mean, look, Boston versus L.A. If you can get 2017 and 2018 from the Nets picks in Boston, in the Boston package, I prefer that. If you can get Crowder on top of that, then it's not even a question. I prefer that. 2017 is a loaded draft. That Nets pick could be number one again. That Nets team, honestly, that team could struggle to win 20 games. It's not that good. They made good moves this offseason for the position they were in. I think Sean Marks seems like he's going to be a really good general manager. He's a super bright guy. But they had a low floor to start from, and they got to build themselves back up. Jeremy Lin was really good value. Trevor Booker was really good value. And they're not done. I mean, they're certainly not done. It makes sense. It would be in character. They made a Deion Waiters offer sheet. They signed Deion Waiters to an offer sheet. That would make sense. That wouldn't surprise me. Seems a little in character for what they're trying to do this offseason, making a run of restricted free agents. But that draft pick, oh, that would be a good draft pick. That would be a good one to have. That could be a top three one right there pretty easily. But if you can't get those picks, if Boston pulls back and is just trying to give you Crowder and Isaiah Thomas and something else, those are good players. Those are really good players. But it doesn't fit the timeline. The goal is to become a championship contender again. It's not to jump up to 44 wins and sustain. And in order to do that, I think you got to get young guys, you got to get picks, and then you got to hope you can find a star in that. Steven Adams could become a second or third best player on a championship level team. You can argue who's the Thunder's third best player in the playoffs this past year, and that was a championship caliber team. So they need to find a way to get another star, and the best way to do that, picks, young talent they can farm. Next up, from @LookoutCoffee, does possible lockout uncertainty impact the calculation of Westbrook and other next summer free agents? Basically, in short, just to summarize, and I've written some details on Thunder Road about this. You can look them up there if you want further clarification of rules and that kind of stuff. Or you can listen to my podcast, actually, with John Hamm from Monday. That was a good one. We talked a lot about CBA stuff and negotiations in there. Basically, either side, players or owners, can opt out in December. The opt-out would take effect July 1st of 2017. They can negotiate. We could have a lockout, not miss games. But rules could change. You know, I've written in the past about Kevin Durant taking the 1-1 and that being a potential risk if they change rules, if the owners take back some of the basketball-related income. You know, if I were Russell Westbrook, from a fiscal standpoint, you know, renegotiating and extending, people talk about how he didn't make money, and it's hard to figure out what's going on with the lockout because it could go either way. They could eliminate the max contract and Russell Westbrook could make a ton of money. They could give a higher percentage of money to max players and Russell Westbrook could make a ton of money. Or the owners could take back more of the basketball-related income. The salary cap could go down and Russell Westbrook could end up not making as much money if he extends to 2018 or something like that. Either way, he's a free agent in 2017 if he wants to be. If I were Russell Westbrook, purely financially, because I hate speaking for players and saying what they should and shouldn't do, but purely financially, if you're Russell Westbrook, people talk about how he'd lose out on money. You don't have to renegotiate and extend if you're going to do that for up to 3 years that's allowed. You can do it for one. And if I'm Russell Westbrook, I do it for one extra. And I become a free agent in 2018 because it'll bump up his salary almost $9 million for the upcoming season. That's a massive raise. Huge. From a little under $18 million to $26.5 million. It'll bump him up to $28.5 million in the 2017-18 season. That's what he would make if he signed a max in 2017-18 anyway. He's not losing money there. He's getting up an extra $8 million. And if he becomes a free agent in 2018, then all of a sudden, he's a 10-year veteran that summer. That's when he can get the 10-year max. Now, again, that could change. This comes back to the original question. Maybe 10-year max is different. 10-year players get a higher max than 9-year players. 7- to 9-year players get about 30% of the cap. 10-plus-year vets get about 35% of the cap. That James Harden extension, the reason he signed that this week, that was just so he could get to his free agent year on a 10-year max. That was why he did that. He's got a player option on what be his 11th year. That's a safety net. If the only way he's picking that up is if something drastic happens. He's opting out. He's getting his max contract after 10 years, and he's getting his Tier 3 max. That's what it's called when you're a 10-year vet, Tier 3 max. That's what he's getting. And that's what the financial decision I would make if I were Russ. But I don't know what Russ is thinking. I don't know if he wants to come back. I don't know if he just wants out. I don't know how much Kevin Durant's decision affects him. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Russ talks to about his close people who he trusts. I'm not one of those people. So I don't know. But just financially, that seems to make the most sense, even if there is a little risk in the lockout. But again, this is something we're going to be talking about all summer. The Russ extension is not happening tomorrow. The Russ trade, I don't think, is happening tomorrow either. Sam Presti would play the market if he were trying to trade him. And I think he would wait it out to try to see if Russ were on the fence. He would wait it out to see if he could bring Russ over to his side of the yard. So this is something we're going to be talking about all summer. You can stay tuned for that. Before we head out, remember, head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for the final episode of the week. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.